Hello and welcome to GeekCast Radio. This is episode 199. That's right, the 199th episode of GeekCast Radio. We're almost to 200, although there are actually more. There are actually almost 300 or more episodes of this show if you count interviews and other special, other non-numbering name things we've done. But this is the 199th episode. It's only taken us 11 years to get here, and the 200th episode is going to be something very special. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. I'm a retired podcaster. I have a problem, apparently. Joining me is MacGyver, Mac and Cheese. I don't know what we call him. It's Mr. Optimus Solo. Hello, sir.
Non-retired, just not very consistent podcaster.
Yeah, well, you've never been a consistent... Look, it's not... Yes, you are very consistent. You are an amazing podcaster and podcast editor, but there's a huge difference between how I feel about podcasting and how everybody else approaches it. For me, because before I met my wife, I have or had no life kind of thing. Like, podcasting is my, like, that's... Look at any of my social media posts over the last 5 to 10 years or whatever, however long it's been. I get up, I'm eating breakfast, editing or recording podcasts. I'm in the middle of lunch, I'm probably planning a podcast. I breathe this shit.
That's why you're not retired.
Hey.
What?
Think somebody this. Else. there's a lot of that going around right now, and
you're just fitting in with the group. You're fitting in with the times.
No, yeah, well, no, not really.
Fake headlines. Mike's not retired. He'll never be retired.
Yeah. So this episode of the podcast actually came from an idea you had on Twitter. I don't even know how long ago at this point, but you were sharing some memories because we're all in quarantine, and I'm so sick of the PC terms. Yes, social distancing. It's not really social distancing, people. It's physical distancing, but whatever.
Right.
But we're all supposed to be sheltering at home or stay in place or whatever kind of thing. And you were going through some of your old memories and old pictures, and you've shared, at least 50 or 60 pictures over the last... No, I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to tell the audience that... You've shared all this stuff, and one of these images was three magazine covers, Entertainment Weekly, TV Guide, and...
The other one doesn't have a name. I don't know who produced it.
It was probably one of those... It's kind of like how some of my Red Sox stuff is, or some of the 2016's Cubs stuff might be, if it's not Sports Illustrated. It's just, here's a book done by this company that we don't know.
It says Special Collector's Edition, but it doesn't. It's not like Time. It's not People. I don't know what it is, but I think my mom or either my mom gave them to me or I back in the day. This would have been right around the time I was graduating high school, probably or during my senior year, maybe. I don't know, but I was either I collected them or somebody got them for me, and I just stashed them away for decades.
Well, it's funny because I can zoom in on the picture. Mm-hmm. And the TV Guide has Daniel Thompson at 211 something 10th Street in...
Oh, yeah, that's my mom's address. That's my dad's name. She probably had TV Guide still from when he was alive and never changed the subscription for that one. The other two don't have a mailing address on them, so I'm guessing those were picked up at like the grocery store or something of that nature.
Most likely. Yeah, the 100 greatest stars of all of the century thing looks like, even though it's not Time Life, it's not the Time special, because I bought several of the Time. Like, I bought the history, the Abe Lincoln one. I bought other Time Life special ones, and it's not that at all. So.
And it doesn't have a table of contents or an index. It just like immediately goes into lists, like pictures and stuff like that. And
so it's a magazine for you,
right? Like, who knows who put this out? But it has a Canadian, New York and Canadian copyright on it. So I don't know what that means. Cool. But yeah, I was cleaning out. I used to have a den. Or man cave or whatever you want to call it, but it was I had a desk, I had bookshelves with sports books and cartoon books and Star Wars books and things of that nature and all my sports stuff. And the closets were full of things like baseball cards and magazines and whatnot. And in the last week, we had to transition that into a nursery. So everything had to go elsewhere. So some stuff went in the garbage, some stuff went in the basement, some stuff went into storage. And as I was sorting through stuff, I took pictures of certain things, and this is one of the things that kind of caught my eye, and I thought it would be fun to dive into a little bit.
Very cool, very cool. So these magazines, as we said, the 100 Greatest Entertainers, according to Entertainment Weekly, 1950 to 2000.
That's the main one that I'd like to get into.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's
because the other one with like one of them's the 100 most
memorable TV moments,
which some people will get, some people won't, because if you haven't seen the TV shows, you know, maybe you don't know anything about those specific moments. But this one is such a broad base, just entertainers, that I feel like no matter what your niche is, you're gonna know these people that we're talking about, with the exception, I think I went through and there was four people that I did not know. I had to look up who they were, so I don't feel like they should have been on the list if I had to look up who they were, but we'll get into that a little bit.
What's so funny about this is, as I'm zooming in on this picture and I see the 100 Greatest Entertainers, 1950 to 2000, it's the sports almanac for entertainers. Marty, get in the DeLorean!
Basically, except I don't know how you make money off of this one, but...
No!
So what I've
not
done,
at this point in time.
What I've done with this is I went through and flipped through all the pages and used my spreadsheets to put something together here. So I've kind of broken it down into kind of groups. We're going to discuss maybe group by group, you know, what we think they got right, what we think they got wrong, maybe some snubs that they left out and stuff like that. And then it'll give the listeners a chance to kind of chime in and see who they think should have been listed on this. Now, this was just, again, like he said, 1950 to 2000. And I know now we're in 2020, so that's 20 years removed, but it was looking at half a century there.
And the other thing for me, the reason why I wanted us to do this, besides how cool it is looking back on this and why I'm glad it is 1950 to 2000 and we're missing the last 20 years, is because honestly, I haven't really seen, like, yes, there are major stars, but there are no, in the last 20 years, can anyone actively tell me that there's another Eddie Murphy or another person like Eddie Murphy or Robin Williams or Tom Cruise, or like, who's the next Tom Cruise? Like, I haven't seen any of that in the last 20 years.
And I think that's the problem, is everybody, like, I'm guilty as charged. Everyone likes making lists in the moment. Like, you know, this is the best movies from last year, or these are the best songs from last year, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But it's, from a historical standpoint, that's never actually what you should do. You always should let time pass and then look back. It's almost like people do it a little bit better when they think about, like, historical events or presidents or things of, you know, that type of stuff. They're like, you know, we don't know what history is going to tell us 50 years from now when we look back and say, well, this person made these choices that were good, or, you know, it's always better to let some time pass and then look back and say, now that we've not in the moment, we don't have any recency bias, now let's look back and see who actually had that, you know, whatever it is that you're judging or looking at. So I think it's better to look at, these magazines should come out 10 years after the fact, or 5 years after the fact, or in this case, since we're talking about such a big time period, I think 20 years is a decent time, because it's not going to be too long where people are going to be saying, you know, what's the best entertainers for the first 25 years of this century, or, or something of that nature. You know, we're only 5 years away from that. So it's interesting. So these are the different, these are the different categories that I've broken it into based on where I feel like they fit. So we're going to have a group of actors, we're going to have a group of actresses, some male singers, some female singers, a small group of actual bands, musical bands, a small group of television shows, because even some actual television shows got ranked, not just individual people. There's one athlete in the group. Then I have what we're going to call comedians / TV personalities. So think of stand-up comics, think of talk show hosts, think of, you know, just TV personalities in general. And then there was a lot of movie directors on this list. And then there's some authors, and I just kind of have a miscellaneous, which is kind of behind the scenes. They were either producers, writers, you know, entrepreneurs in the entertainment business. So
Very cool.
Kind of what we're going through. And I have the, I'm going to give you guys the people that made it after I let Mike make a few guesses. And then we'll go through what I think maybe was some stuff that got left off that surprises me. Which group out of all those would you think would have the most entries?
Probably the actors and actresses.
Actors and actresses is up there. There's actually more male singers than anything else. Or musicians and singers. It's part of that's because I took some of the actors out and made them more in the comedian TV personality role. Those are kind of the two big ones. And then after that, it's directors, actresses, female singers, and then the other groups are all small. So let's start with the smallest group, which is a group of one.
So top Tom Brady.
Top 100 entertainers from 1950 to 2000, they included one athlete.
That would be Joe Montana.
You would think you could make a case for Joe Montana being on there. Wrong sport, though.
Okay, wrong sport. I hope it's not a Yankee.
No baseball.
Okay, well, geez. Basketball.
Yep, basketball is the sport.
Well, it's as of this recording, and hopefully this episode will be out before April 19th, so now I'm actually giving Mr. Optimus Solo a deadline. It's got to be Michael Jordan because The Last Dance is coming up on ESPN.
Yeah, they put Michael Jordan at number 80 as the only athlete that was qualifying as one of the best entertainers of a 50-year period. You mentioned Joe Montana. How about some other names that, and I put some of the stuff out on Twitter and some people reacted, so I got some of their guesses plus some of my own guesses. But I think of that show, the cartoon Pro Stars back in the day. You know, they try to pick some of the best athletes around. So what about Wayne Gretzky?
Best hockey player ever. Yep. Wayne Gretzky, Joe Montana.
Magic Johnson. He was
Magic
huge.
Johnson, Larry Bird. Like, that's the thing, like, sports to me is finding itself again. It's entertaining, but it's like let's take just the four major sports: hockey, baseball, basketball, and football. You look at the last, let's say from 50 to 2000, you have all these big name people. You look at the 80s, you look at the 90s with the Bulls and Michael and Scotty and, to a lesser extent, Rodman. And, you know, the Celtics with Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and the Lakers with Johnson and everybody that was there and whatever, wherever Shaq ended up with Orlando Magic at first. All of those sports stars are superstars even in retirement. You look at those sports now, I don't see any major, oh my God, breakout Jordans right now.
You know, if you were making this list for the 2000s to the, let's say, just say 2025, let's say half of the time that they were looking at back in this one, I think you could make a case probably for somebody like LeBron, you know, maybe Kobe Bryant, you know, in the basketball world, maybe in the baseball world. It's tough because there's so many more stars. I don't think A-Rod was too much in the 90s, so I don't think you'd put him out there. Football, I think your guess with Tom Brady would be somebody that maybe you would put out there, but it gets a little bit different.
Everybody would vote against him.
Some good guesses on Twitter that I was surprised didn't make the list. One I could maybe see because maybe not as much for America, but Pele, from a world standpoint, soccer star. But the bigger one that I thought was a good guess by somebody on Twitter was Muhammad Ali. You would think he would have made the list as an entertainer for that time period. But just Michael Jordan sitting by himself at number 80, the only athlete on the list. So you'll have to let us know if you think other athletes were deserving. Maybe some of the ones we mentioned, maybe we're forgetting somebody. You know, you think about some of the big-time Yankees. I know some of that was way back before the 50s. You know, and that's why you're not going to include somebody like Babe Ruth or things of that nature. But maybe somebody from one of those teams that was more past the 50s. Pete Rose, I guess, was maybe too controversial. But interesting that Michael Jordan makes the list there for sure. How well do you know your authors, Mike? Think back to the 90s and what authors or stuff like that had movies made out of their works.
Let's see. Dean Koontz, John Grisham, Stephen King. As of this recording, so this is going to be dated, folks. Beverly Cleary just turned 104 years old.
That's a good one for old school. You already named two out of the four that I have listed here as authors. So you got Stephen King was the highest ranked author. He was at 21. And you said John Grisham, and he was at 83. The other most known one on this list would have been Michael Crichton.
Yep.
Jurassic Park and other things, number 75. I think he did Jurassic Park. Am I remembering that wrong?
Yeah. Yep.
Nope. And an author, I'm not familiar with him, but Tom Wolfe.
I've heard the name, but I'm
listed not as an author. Familiar. Must not have written a lot of stuff that I know, but I'm sure he's a lot of people know of his stuff. But he was ranked number 28, so he was just behind Stephen King, whereas Crichton and Grisham were in the 70s and 80s. So those were the four authors that they put. Authors is a hard one for me because it really, man,
it depends on the genre. It depends on the books. Like for me, if I was making, let's just say, a top 10 authors list, like I already said, even though I've read several of King's books, but I'm not a horror guy. So I don't really read a lot of King, but I would put King on there. I would put Dean Koontz. I would put Dean Koontz on there because I like some of his suspenseful stuff. John Grisham, you can't leave him off.
What's the guy that does all the did all the Da Vinci Code and the Angels and Demons and Dan? He was a pretty big one there for a while too. He had a lot of stuff that was pretty popular. I'm gonna kick myself for not remembering his name, but I think what you get with Stephen King is not just the author of the books, but then so many of his books became hit movies. So you had cross genre ability. Yeah. Dan Anderson, is that his name? Dan something? I don't know. But so I definitely can see Stephen King. I was a big fan of John Grisham and Michael Crichton. I didn't read a ton of their stuff, but I liked the stuff that I saw from them. So I can see them coming in at the tail end, but no female authors on the list. So that was kind of interesting.
That's kind of sad because people like Mary Higgins Clark, Nora Roberts, Janet Ivanovich.
Luckily, no Nicholas Sparks either.
Oh, Lord. it's not him. It's not him. It's the other one. It's Nicholas Evans that I like. Nicholas Evans did The Horse Whisperer. He also did The Smoke Jumper.
Dan Brown. Dan Brown is who I was thinking of. Dan
Brown, yeah, that's right.
But no females made the list. We did have one good snub that somebody voted for on Twitter when they were trying to guess people that made this list, and that would have been good old Dr. Seuss. why not Dr. Seuss on the list? So exactly. I could definitely see that. They tended to, what I found, and maybe this is just because of their readership or their demographic, they were typically looking for entertainment for, and don't take this the wrong way, but entertainment for adults, not adult entertainment, but entertainment for adults. Right. There's not a lot of entertainment directed towards the kids that they included on this, where that would be a big factor. You still have to consider people that are entertaining, you know, all the children in the world. So Dr. Seuss would be one of those.
And the thing about it, just really quickly, my own history with reading books when I was little, let's say from 2 to maybe 4, I was reading Golden Books. I don't know any of those authors, but those Golden Books were popular as all hell. Mm. Once I got, Berenstain Bears, so as a kid, Jan and Stan Berenstain.
For me, it was like the Hardy Boys and the Encyclopedia Brown.
Yeah, the thing I was going to, like, for me, after Berenstain was Hardy Boys Case Files. Now, not the regular, it was the Case Files ones that they did. The funny thing about that is, Franklin W. Dixon, who is listed as the author of those books, does not exist. It's not a person. It's a name that a consortium came. I researched this because I'm like, over the last 20 years, I'm like, I want my Hardy Boys Case Files books back because I actually want to go back and read some of those books, and I haven't been able to find any one person with like a good chunk of them for decent enough price kind of thing. But I remember reading the Hardy Boys case files, and I remember thinking, oh, Franklin W. Dixon must be an awesome dude or whatever else. And, like, I don't know, three or four years ago, I did some research on it, and it's not even a person. It's just a name.
I remember my sister would be reading stuff like The Babysitter's Club, Nancy Drew. What was the other one? Oh, the Ramona books.
That's Beverly Cleary, Ramona and Beezus and all that. Yep.
And then I know I was a big fan of the Wayside Stories, but that was only a couple handful of books there. I think two or three.
Louis Satcher. Like so, yes, I have them. There are three of them.
You didn't even think, and I know some of these authors might have been around prior to this or maybe predated this, but their works carried on. I don't know the exact dates of when some of this stuff was penned, but you would think stuff like J.R. Tolkien or C.S. Lewis or some of those people that did some of those major franchise type stuff could have been in there. I know if you were doing 2025, then you're going to be talking about, the Harry Potter author.
J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling and things of that nature. So it's interesting.
How is it that I remember that and I'm not a Potter person at all? So I think I've told you this story, and I repeat myself all the time on podcasts, folks. So if anyone's listening to this and you've heard this before, you can fast forward a little while if you'd like. The year was 2000, and I was just moved to Biloxi, Mississippi, and I wanted to get back, and I... Yes, sorry, and I wanted to get back. Scooby-Doo, yes, I got it. Old man Thompson. So I wanted to get back into reading, because before that I was still reading Grisham. I was reading Grisham's early stuff, like A Time to Kill and The Client and The Firm and all of that. By the time 2000 rolled around, I was 20 years old. So what new books could I get into? What new this could I get into? Because I was trying to, establish myself in Mississippi at the time. I went to a Books A Million. I talked to this lady named Angie who was working there. And I told her what I liked and whatever. And she said, okay, well, I'll give you two paths. You can pick one or both or whatever. She handed me the first Harry Potter book. And the very first Janet Ivanovich Stephanie Plum novel, One for the Money. Boy wizard who goes around and does all this stuff, or former lingerie buyer turned bounty hunter? Can anybody guess which one I went with and never went back? I'm the type of guy that when I make a choice, I stick with it. I went the Stephanie Plum route, and I've never read, and it's not my thing. Here's the thing, folks. We all have different interests and likes and dislikes. If we all liked the same stuff, the world would be boring, even though we're all staying at home now. So it's not that I disrespect what Rowling did with Potter. It's just I have zero interest in it. And if I don't have any interest in it, why am I going to check it out?
But she for sure would be a choice for the next 50 years or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's move on out of the authors. Then let's go to directors real quick and get them out of the way. There was a handful of directors, probably about, let's say, 13. And some of them do have some crossover. Some of them were actors at different times, but we're going to list them in the directors group. So Mike, give me a few guesses of directors that you would expect to make this from 1950 to 2000s.
Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
Directors. This is a hard one for me because sometimes I don't always remember the directors. Tony and Ridley Scott. Michael Bay.
Oh, God, please don't say that again.
Hey! Come on
don't,
now.
Don't mention, that. Don't mention that, man.
Come on now. Come on now.
All right, you got one, so we'll give you Spielberg. he was number four on the list, actually, so top five material for Steven Spielberg. And a lot of these are going to be pretty well-known names here. So we have Woody Allen was number 26. James Brooks, I'm not as familiar with, but he was number 47. Mel Brooks, number 86. James Cameron, Titanic and the Terminator, number 95. Francis Ford Coppola was 45. Clint Eastwood, number 27. I could make a case for this guy being a little bit higher. Alfred Hitchcock, 14. Stanley Kubrick, 57. Spike Lee just snuck in at number 99. Robert Redford, 25. Martin Scorsese, number 30. And Oliver Stone, number 92. So those were the directors that they put. You'll notice, once again, no females. Again, a sign of the times. But those are some pretty heavy hitters there with the likes of Francis Ford Coppola, Hitchcock, Scorsese, Spielberg. Mm-hmm. So those were the directors.
You know who I'm surprised didn't make it?
Who's that?
Gary Marshall.
Yeah. The other one that I would be thinking would be, I'm blanking it again, but the guy that did all of the 80s films like 16 Candles and Pretty in Pink and...
John Hughes.
Yeah, John Hughes. I would thought he might have snuck in there somewhere, but that's a pretty good list of actors that spans a lot of different genres. You got like the gangster stuff. You have the comedy stuff with Mel Brooks. You have the, you know, drug-induced Stanley Kubrick type of stuff, the suspenseful Hitchcock, the blockbusters with Spielberg, so and some of the social commentary with like a Spike Lee. So I think that's a good group of directors. You know, if they were doing something with nowadays directors, it'd be interesting to see who fit in that. Probably have like maybe the Anderson, Paul Anderson or Wes Anderson. You'd have the Coens and things of that nature probably making the list. So it'd be interesting to see what they did for the next 50 years. But that's the directors. Let's get into something that you are probably a little bit more familiar at. Let's go into bands. This is musical bands or groups, and there's only six of them that make the list. So six musical groups that make the list from 1950 to 2000.
Well,
you should get at least
a couple. They probably wouldn't have made it because they weren't as hated yet, but Nickelback.
you just wanted to say Nickelback.
I had to throw it out there. But
maybe we were talking about a genre, a certain time period, but this is 50s to 2000.
No, I know. Obviously, Elvis, the Beatles, just Led Zeppelin.
Yep. So Beatles is good.
Hall & Oates, Guns N' Roses. I hate being put on the spot like this. Aerosmith. Like ZZ Top. Fleetwood Mac. Let's see. Well,
one more guess.
I mean, crap. 2000. God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Spice Girls.
Don't do it. No, we're thinking a little bit more old school here. Yeah, I know. So it's interesting because you mentioned probably at least two or three that were on my snub list. But out of the six that made it, we'll start with the one you guessed, Beatles. Mm-hmm. They came in at number one.
Of course.
Top entertainer of the 50 years was apparently the Beatles. The next best ranked one would have been actually the Rolling Stones at 15. And then we go to number 53, which was one of my favorites, the Beach Boys. And then to interesting one here at number 74, I would never guess this one, but they have Run DMC at 74. I skipped over another one that I would have never guessed, which is number 69, which is the Sex Pistols. And then number 90, the Grateful Dead. Those are your six bands. So the Beatles, the Beach Boys, the Rolling Stones, the Grateful Dead, Run DMC, and the Sex Pistols. I don't know how Sex Pistols got on there. So some snubs. I would say Pink Floyd. I would say Queen. Guns N' Roses, Led Zeppelin.
Styx.
I had Eagles on my list and Kiss.
How is the Eagles not on that?
Yeah, so
oh my God.
It's interesting because I get like the Rolling Stones and Grateful Dead, like those are classic, you know,
absolutely
rock groups. I get the Beatles because they're one of the biggest groups ever. Beach Boys, you know, had their specific niche and the time and place. I get Run DMC for probably the movement of that genre and making it a thing. Sex Pistols, I don't understand, and I'd really just Pink Floyd, Queen, Guns N' Roses, Led Zeppelin, Eagles, Kiss. Like, I would think there'd be room for them over the Sex Pistols, but maybe I'm missing something because I wasn't big into music when the Sex Pistols were a thing. I don't know. Somebody educate me on why they're such a worthy band of being in the top 100 entertainers for a 50-year period. I don't know. So that's bands. Let's move over to TV shows, because there wasn't very many of them either. They put 5 TV shows. We're going to call one of them a TV show, even though it's you'll understand why in a second. But there's five TV shows for a 50-year period that they said were one of the top entertainers. What kind of TV shows would you think might have made the list?
Let's see. Happy Days, Golden Girls, All in the Family, Cosby Show, Knight Rider, A-Team, Airwolf.
Stop with your Knight Rider nonsense.
MacGyver.
Stop just naming your favorite shows.
MacGyver. Magnum. What? Golden Girls? I said Golden Girls.
No, you're straight out. You have not hit any of them yet.
Really? Wow.
Shows so big that they lasted decades. Or at least
that would be the Cosby Show. That would be the Cosby Show. It lasted a long time.
Nope.
Decade. They didn't really influence anything but Gunsmoke.
I could have seen that. It was a little before, kind of right at the beginning of this time period that we're looking at a little bit. But no, we're talking about stuff like. How about a show that features a lot of comedians every Saturday Night Live. Yep, they were in the top 10, number 7.
Thank God they only counted up to the year 2000, because it sucked the last 20 years.
Two shows, they might have only included 5 really shows slash sort of shows, but 2 of them were in the top 10, with Saturday Night Live at number 7 and an animated show at number 10.
Hmm.
Which animated show would that be?
Be Looney Tunes. Nope. No, it's too old. The Flintstones, the Jetsons, Scooby-Doo.
Too old.
Really?
Yep. You're missing a big one.
Scooby's not too old. Scooby was 69.
Yeah, this one started in 89.
DuckTales?
No, sir. The Simpsons.
The Simpsons, of course.
At number 10. So we had Saturday Night Live, The Simpsons, and then I don't know if they're specific to which show or if they're just talking about the franchise overall, but number 33 is Star Trek. Just plain old Star Trek at number 33. Here's an interesting one that comes in at number 76. They put The X-Files on here.
Why? X-Files.
76, and I'm counting this one in the TV shows, even though mostly sketches and movies and all kinds of different stuff, but they have Monty Python on here at number 77. So here's my snubs. Biggest one overall, MASH.
Yeah.
How do you not put MASH on there? I also put down All in the Family, which you had mentioned in your first couple that you rattled off, and then I thought they might give a nod to something like Friends, just because of the type of show and kind of a new era that it was ushering in with, like, that type of show. So I thought MASH for sure, maybe over the X-Files.
Definitely.
I get The Simpsons, I get Saturday Night Live, and I get Star Trek. And even though I'm not a Monty Python fan, I get that as well.
Yeah.
X-Files, I know it was a good show and well-regarded. I don't know if it's better representative of that 50 years than MASH is, or All in the Family.
Or Golden Girls. And again...
I don't know about Golden Girls, but...
No, but you got to look at Golden Girls, though, because you got to really think about that. That's 4 women, a show with 4 women as the main stars in the time of male stars. That's a big deal.
That's true.
It's 4 women in Miami, Florida, who are all aging out, and they all have varying things, and they all have their, you know, whatever. It's a really, really I put Golden Girls, The Jeffersons, and All in the Family in the same, like, triple threat, because they're all 3 very different shows that all put light on certain situations and certain things. And for those not to be on a list like this is just...
And if you were to ask me 10 years ago, probably Cosby Show would be one that I would put on there.
And here's the thing about Cosby Show, and I've said this before online. Yes, the man is a monster. No argument here. But for me, it doesn't take away from what those producers and other actors did on that show.
Yeah, it was still a funny show. Speaking of which, let's do, we'll do our singers, or let's do our actors, and then we'll go to our comedians, and then we'll finish with singers. How about that? Okay. So let's start with actors. There was quite a few of them on the list. We got about 16. I'm not asking you to name them all, but just give me a handful of actors that you would anticipate being on this list.
From 50 to 2000.
Oh, your whole childhood.
I'm not that old yet. I'm old, but I ain't that old yet. Let's see. Spencer Tracy. Audrey Hepburn.
Just male actors for right now.
Oh, just male?
Oh,
yep. That's
we'll do female in a second.
Okay, good. Let's see. Spencer Tracy, Buddy Hackett, Tom Cruise. Let's see who else. Matt Damon, Ben Affleck. Who knows?
Those are probably pretty too new. They'd be on like a new list if we were to do the next 25 years or so. But all right, let's start with the highest rank one. We're going with number 12 on the whole list was Marlon Brando. Mm-hmm. Then we go to number 17 was good old John Wayne. Number 20 was Robert De Niro.
Of course.
Number 23 was Jack Nicholson. Then we get into our 30s with number 32, Paul Newman. And number 37, Indiana Jones, Han Solo himself, Harrison Ford. In our 40s, we have number 41 was James Dean. Number 43 was Tom Hanks. Number 49, Jackie Gleason. And then one in our 50s, we had number 52 was Tom Cruise, like you mentioned. 54, Dustin Hoffman. 65, Jim Carrey sneaks in there. Number 62, Warren Beatty. 78, Bob Newhart, more of a TV actor, but still. 84 yep. Was Sean Connery. And 97 was James Garner. So that was the list of actors. A wide range, some of the more classic ones back in the day, a lot of them from the 80s, 90s, and then Jim Carrey kind of sneaking in almost at borderline because he did a little before and a little after this time period. Here's my biggest snubs. I'll give them to you here. I got about six or seven. Al Pacino, not on that list. Humphrey Bogart, not on that list. Dick Van Dyke. Jack Lemmon, James Earl Jones, Jimmy Stewart, and Bruce Lee. Those were the ones that I thought maybe should have got some recognition. But overall, a pretty good group of actors there, the who's who of Hollywood.
Yeah.
So
I wish, and I don't know, maybe you can tell me later, tell me now, whatever, I'm going to ask this now. We have done in the last 11 years of the Geekcast Radio Network and 12, almost whatever, how many years that we've all been podcasting. We do our top 100 lists because we feel things like this don't do it justice.
Yeah.
it's fun to discuss, but we are the IGN killer. We are this, we are that, whatever. Does it say anywhere in that magazine what the criteria was for how they made the list up?
It does have like an introduction that I'd have to go through and kind of pinpoint who was voting and what kind of criteria they were given. But that was the actors. Let's move on to actresses. There was 11 actresses, much more old school in this group than we got with the guys. Mm-hmm. We did have stuff like Marlon Brando and, Paul Newman, but there was a lot of, Tom Cruise and Jim Carrey and Harrison Ford. This is a little bit more old school. So we have number 3 overall. Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
We have number 9 overall, Lucille Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Number 16 overall, Audrey Hepburn. Number 18, Elizabeth Taylor. Number 22, Mary Tyler Moore. Number 38, a more modern one, Meryl Streep. 46, Jane Fonda. 48, Julia Roberts. 66, Jodie Foster somehow snuck in here. I don't understand that one. 85, Carol Burnett. 96, Diane Keaton, and that is it for the women. So the big ones that jumped out at me that weren't there, Betty Davis, Betty White, and Julie Andrews. I thought maybe could get in there. I don't know about Jodie Foster being on that list. I'm not saying anything against her. I'm just
right. No, and we're not trying to say anything against who made the list at all. It's not their fault whether they made or didn't make the list. It's again going back to whatever the criteria was. I think the reason why Jodie Foster maybe made it in Silence of the Lambs, the fact that she was the voice of Ariel in The Little Mermaid. I know she's done a bunch of other things other than that, but.
Yeah, I just maybe recency bias for when they were making the list. I don't know because she didn't. I don't think she would be one that they would put on there currently. She did not do the voice of Ariel, by the way. You're thinking of Jodie
Benson.
Benson. Yeah, but either way, but Silence of the Lambs was definitely a big one, and she had done a lot of films in the 80s and 90s. I just don't know if she had enough to be on this list. So some that could have been on the actors list that I instead put in this other group, we're going to call it comedians/TV personalities. So we're talking about stand-up comics that also may have done some acting, or we're talking about TV personalities as far as like hosts of different shows and things like that. Do you got any guesses for any of those?
Let's see. David Letterman, Johnny Carson, Jay Leno. Let's see. Who else? Crap.
You're doing good. You're doing good, but that's all right. How about any stand-up comics?
Jeff Foxworthy,
Bill Engvall. How did I know you were going to go to fucking blue-collar comedy?
What?
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's not like I said Jeff Dunham.
Oh, Lord. All right. Come on now. I'm not letting you guess anymore. All right, so let's go over who made the list in this category that I'm talking about. Number 24 overall. They didn't put The Cosby Show on there, but they did put Bill Cosby himself on there at number 24 as an actor / comedian, etc. Number 31, Oprah Winfrey. Good old Oprah. Number 34, Richard Pryor. Number 42, Johnny Carson. Number 56, Jerry Seinfeld. Instead of putting The Seinfeld Show on there, they just put Jerry Seinfeld on there. Number 64, David Letterman. Number 68, Ed Sullivan. Number 71, Steve Martin. And number 91, Robin Williams. Wow. So those are who they put on there. So the big ones that jump off here for TV personalities / comedians. On the comedian side, I would put George Carlin and probably Rodney Dangerfield as people that were big for a long time. For the host standpoint, I would probably put someone like Howard Stern maybe in there, or even a Bob Hope. We had that one thrown out there on Twitter, but Bob Hope was definitely an entertainer for a long time, even before this,
I would put Bob Hope before I would put Howard Stern.
Yeah.
The reason why is because Howard is just
I get it, but once again a sign that they weren't necessarily considering entertainment for kids. How about Fred Rogers? Could we put Fred Rogers on there as a TV personality? I mean, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was pretty big for a long time, so I would think someone like Fred Rogers could be on there, but not to be. Any other thoughts on comedians or hosts or things of that nature? Oh, how about Dick Clark?
Yeah, Dick Clark is one that, man, that guy did everything. And Mr. Rogers, I mean, how can you not put Mr. Rogers on this list?
Yeah, I just don't think it's considered as much entertainment for kids. Another one you maybe could throw out there would be like Casey Kasem. somebody like that from a radio standpoint. You know, I think that could be in there. So, or even Ed McMahon.
I would not. I don't know about McMahon. I only because of my youth, even though I'm old as hell. I only ever saw Ed McMahon as Johnny's sidekick. I never saw him as anything else. So, but I guess you could make an argument for it.
We're gonna get the miscellaneous category before we get the singers, because that's all we have left. So the miscellaneous, the miscellaneous was more people that I didn't know as much, but these are choreographers, producers, writers, behind the scenes people. But there will be a few that you recognize. So one, number 87 was a guy named Stephen Baccio, who was a producer. Bob Fosse, number 93, Norman Lear, number 40, Agnes Nixon, number 81. And then the two that you should be familiar with would be Aaron Spelling at 67 and Jim Henson at 59.
Okay, so let's start with Norman Lear. All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Good Times. How do these TV shows not make it, but Norman does?
Maybe that was their way to give them a nod by putting the
guy maybe, that created I guess. All of them.
But Jim Henson, I'm glad to see make the list.
Yeah.
I was surprised that nobody with the last name of Disney made the list. So that was interesting.
Maybe Disney should have bought out Entertainment Weekly at the time, but they
there
didn't.
There we go. And then just two random ones that I'm going to put in as snubs that don't really fit any categories. What about Mel Blanc?
Yes.
Just a voice and a whole industry. Yep. Or Hulk Hogan. How about Hulk Hogan?
What the hell?
Well, sports entertainment. There's... He was huge in the 80s and the 90s. And you could put a wrestler in there. Maybe Andre the Giant. How about Andre the Giant?
Yeah. So he, did have some... he did do a few acting things. So there's that.
All right, let's get into music. First, our biggest category overall, which was the male, you know, just solo singers or entertainers, as far as a group goes. There is a ton of them. I'll give you, you can name like a half dozen or so.
So this is male solo singers, didn't we
already do from this? The 50s to the 2000s. Not bands, not male actors. This is singers. You did mention Elvis Presley.
Elvis.
Any other ones that you would think would be on here?
Elvis, Dean Martin, George Michael, I'm fogging up.
Okay, and then we'll allow it. You got the big one, Elvis Presley, which was number two on the list. So we had the Beatles at number one and Elvis
at number two.
Yep, yeah. And then I'm trying to remember who was three here. Marilyn Monroe was number three.
Of course she was.
All right, so let's go through here. We had Elvis at number two. We have Frank Sinatra, number six. Michael Jackson, number eight. We had Bob Dylan at number 11. I'm just going to go down the list. I was trying to do it in order, but there's too many of them. So Chuck Berry, number 50. David Bowie, number 55. Garth Brooks, 98. James Brown, 36. Eric Clapton, 82. Kurt Cobain, 72. Elvis Costello, 94. Miles Davis, 39. Bob Dylan, 11. Jimi Hendrix, 51. Already said Michael Jackson. Bob Marley, 44. Willie Nelson, 61. We already talked about Elvis. Prince, number 60. Paul Simon, number 70. We already mentioned Sinatra. Bruce Springsteen, 35. Stevie Wonder, 29. And Neil Young, 73.
Wow.
So some heavy hitters.
So wait, Simon gets in, but Garfunkel gets snubbed. Great.
Correct. here's some more snubs for you. How about Neil Diamond? Not on the list. John Denver. Elton freaking John. you mentioned it before, Dean Martin. I can't believe Johnny Cash is not on this list somewhere.
I can't believe he's not on the list either. I thought Elvis would be number one or whatever. Beatles number one, Elvis number two. At least Johnny number five or six.
Yeah, Johnny Cash doesn't make it, and neither does Jimmy Buffett. No Jimmy Buffett anywhere. Other minor ones.
To go to Margaritaville.
I guess not. Other minor ones, Barry White, Smokey Robinson, Lionel Richie, James Taylor. But it's hard. I know you only have so many slots, but I would think Johnny Cash and Jimmy Buffett and Elton John would be on there.
Yeah.
And I would make a case for Neil Diamond and John Denver.
Yep.
They're pretty big. But, you know, not a lot of country on there. Garth Brooks is about the only country guy on there, which I get. He was huge. Willie Nelson, I guess you could put in there too. But it's interesting. No George Jones or, you know, that. But a lot of singers. Let's go to the female singers. There was only nine of them. And that would be, any guesses? I'll give you one guess. Female singer. Back in the
Madonna.
Day. Madonna, number five. All right. Madonna was the highest ranked one at number five. Then we have Aretha Franklin and Barbra Streisand were in the teens. Barbara was 13 and Aretha was 19. And then we had 58 was Cher, 63 Joni Mitchell, 79 was Diana Ross, 88 was Loretta Lynn, 89 was Janis Joplin. And I'm not familiar with number 100, but it says that she's a singer or somebody that has something to do with rock and roll, I think. Chrissy Hind. I don't know.
I've heard the name.
I don't know who that is, so I'm apparently not educated. But some big names there: Aretha, Cher, Janis Joplin, Madonna, Diana Ross, Streisand. How about these that didn't make it? No Mariah Carey, which I get she's crazy, but she was around for a long time. How about no Dolly Parton? No Bette Midler, no Celine Dion, and no Whitney Houston.
Chrissy Hynde was the she was the lead vocalist and primary songwriter of the rock band The Pretenders.
That still doesn't help me. Just kidding. But go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was thinking of the Proclaimers. I would walk 500.
yeah, I can see that. So that is the list. So like we said, number one was Beatles. We had number two was Elvis Presley. Number three was Marilyn Monroe. I'm just doing the top 10. Number four was Steven Spielberg. Number five, Madonna. Number six, Frank Sinatra. Number seven, Saturday Night Live. Number eight, Michael Jackson. Number nine was, let me find number nine.
You just mentioned it.
I know I did a second ago, but now number nine is escaping me. Let me check the actual mic. Oh, number nine was Lucille Ball.
Lucille Ball. Yep.
And number 10 was The Simpsons. So,
yeah.
What do you think of the list overall? And could we have done it better?
Well, we'll find out in 2021, folks. I don't know, because here's the thing, like you mentioned, it's all very different categories. It's not all one like if we did a GCRN Wars tournament of male actors versus female actors from this timeline, that would be interesting. Strange and weird.
I could see a whole one on bands, Battle of the Bands, GCRN edition.
Exactly. There you go.
Or stand up comics. We could do a whole one on that.
Yeah. Oh man.
But it's interesting. Again, we're looking at a very
specific time period.
Yeah, very specific time period when we're looking at, you know, 1950 to 2000, so we're not considering anything before or anything after. We'd have to lay some groundwork if we were doing something like that. But I do think they got a lot right. But man, you could make a list of 200 and still have plenty of people to put on that.
Oh, absolutely, so, yeah.
Especially when you consider the lack of bands and the lack of athletes that they had on there. You could fill up a lot of spots with some of those.
Yeah, because here's the thing. As popular as television is, and as popular as movies are, and I know no actual film made this list,
right.
I would take The Simpsons off. I would take Bonanza, Gunsmoke, whatever the other show was off that made it, and I would fill that with a spot like an athlete or another comedian, actor, actress, musician, mm-hmm. whatever. And honestly, at this point, we could take this and run with it so far that we could do so many different varieties of this. Like, we could take it out and segment it to the point of, like I just said, you could have our wars tournaments do male actors versus actors versus actresses, or author versus author. Does Dean Koontz kill Stephen King, or does John Grisham, you know, send John Steinbeck to jail, or, you know, who the hell knows what there's so much you could do with this.
Right. Yeah, it'd be interesting, especially I think along the musical lines. I think there's so many heavy hitters in the world of music over the years that it would be an interesting thing. Or, you know, I think stand-up comics would be really fun. I know everybody has a different style that they like, or different, you know, personal tastes, but some have been around longer than others, and some have been more successful than others. And I'd love to see some of the classics destroy your blue-collar comedy tour, guys. But
hey, come on. Okay, look, it was just top of my head kind of thing. and again, here's the thing. Like, you know, I mentioned earlier about the Cosby Show. Yes, the man is a monster.
Just like Michael Jackson.
Exactly. Like, Bill Cosby, the man, I separate it from what he has done
right.
in acting, in comedy or whatever. Like, I still can listen to his Bill Cosby himself thing from 1969 with, like, Buck and the water bottle and you know, driving in San Francisco. And I can listen to all that and laugh my ass off because I know it's comedy and it's a joke and it's funny. But do I still feel that the man is a monster? Absolutely.
Right. And same decision that people have to make when they're listening. Or, you know, can you listen to a Michael Jackson song and still enjoy it for the music, or even though you know he's a creep? You know, it is what it is. Yeah. So you have to make those decisions because, you know, otherwise you're going to have to eliminate a whole lot of entertainment out of your life because nobody is an angel. Some are worse than others, but everybody has their demons. And especially in when you talk about celebrities. So, I mean, we couldn't watch professional wrestling if we cared about what kind of people some of these guys were behind the scenes when they're doped up and on drugs and steroids, et cetera. Just like baseball. I couldn't watch that if you eliminated everybody that cheated. So in different ways, Pete Rose, the Astros, the steroids, the blah, blah, blah. Yep. So, you have to make your own personal decisions on what you can participate in, what you can take in. But for me, I can separate most of it.
I can separate most of it myself as well. And it just like, okay, so I did this a while ago. I had my friend Tom DJ on Geekcast Radio. We did Broken Fandoms and How to Fix Them. And Tom has come up with this, what he calls the Modern Fandom Manifesto. And it's this set of rules of how you should be treating fandom and how you should be reacting and acting in your fandoms. Just because you love something, Kevin, doesn't mean that I have to, but I still respect. Okay, that's your thing. You love that. That's amazing. That's great for you. It's not for me. I'm not shitting on it. I'm not saying, oh my God, you shouldn't like them. Just like half the people tell me I shouldn't love Scrappy-Doo or I shouldn't love Nickelback or whatever. You know, it's a thing of treating people better. Treating them more, I don't know. I don't
it's just more of every, you know, if something's bringing somebody joy or entertainment, like for you to tell them that they shouldn't enjoy that. Like I cannot stand the Pokemon and Power Rangers, but it doesn't mean that I'm upset that other people enjoy it and other people get satisfaction and entertainment and escape or whatever from those different things. Just like someone could say that, you know, Star Wars and MacGyver and Transformers are garbage. Like that's not going to stop me from enjoying them. So, we can all like what we like, and nobody has to be judged for it.
Yep. I got into an argument with somebody the other day on Facebook, the other night at like 4 a.m.
Pacific. Oh, geez, that's never smart.
Well, they basically said Transformers was nothing but a toy commercial. And I'm like, no, yes, it was, but no, it wasn't.
That's one of my triggers is when people call animated series 80s. Or animated film. They call them
toy commercials.
Or even just they try to downgrade it by saying like, you watch that cartoon or that like that's a bad thing or something like that, or that kid's cartoon or something like that. Like, no, just because something's animated doesn't mean you can't enjoy it at different ages. So, and a lot of that stuff is made for more audiences than just kids. A lot of it is trying to appeal to the parents that are taking those kids and different things like that. So there's nothing wrong with enjoying whatever you want to enjoy, as long as you're not breaking any laws or hurting people in the meantime. So that's how I feel. But this would be an interesting conversation to kind of go over, not necessarily just 1950 to 2000, but take a certain time period and decide, you know, from an entertainment standpoint or from a music standpoint or from a different sort of these genres go, what was resonating the most for that time period? Kind of like a look back, like a time capsule type thing. So
absolutely.
We might adventure into some of those things, but in the meantime, we want to hear what your guys' thoughts are on what Entertainment Weekly put out as their 100 entertainers from 1950 to 2000. And do you agree with some of the snubs that we pointed out, or who do you think didn't belong, or maybe you can think of someone that we didn't mention that should be in consideration? We'd love to hear all those comments at the website geekcastradio.com or on social media, Twitter and Facebook. Mike, how do they do that?
That would be at Geekcast Radio for the network Twitter. You can also send email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. But yes, please go to the website, make comments on our posts, because I see nothing but tumbleweeds in our comment sections lately. There has been a couple episodes that our good buddy Toon Master Tim has commented on, and we absolutely love him for that. So there is that.
That's the easiest way to make sure that you're guaranteed to get a response from us if you do that, basically, because we check and we will respond if you comment on the website.
Absolutely.
If not, you can also harass Mike on Twitter. Mike, what's your Twitter?
Lord. It's at Optimus Solo.
That's mine. And they can harass me as well. That's fine.
It's at TFG1Mike on Twitter.
Sweet. Get us out of here, Mike.
We're out of here. I don't know how we're going to close 200. This because... Episode 200. Yes, episode 200. Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you use Spotify?
I have it. No. I don't use it.
You have it, but you don't use it. Do you pay for it?
I do not.
Okay. Well...
Is that required for episode 200?
It might be. Just for a month. It's just so you can get a certain thing. Because episode 200, folks... And I guess people have told me that this was released last year or something. It did not show up for me last year. Or at least I didn't. And the way that Spotify lists it is that it got released this year. And technically, this is the 30th anniversary of the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film. I will freely admit this. I don't remember who sent it to me, but I have a bootleg copy of the score of this film. It's not the best one, but now we have an actual official release by John Duprez. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles original 1990 motion picture soundtrack. It has... I don't know how many tracks are actually on here, but it's, you know, it's got the whole, every movie bit. It's got the Shredder music. It's got the Raff and Casey music, you know, all that. It's got the main theme. It's got everything. So basically our 200th episode on Geekcast Radio, hopefully, I believe Steve Megatron will be joining us. If you would like to join us, you're more than welcome to. We will be talking about this score and this film, more specifically the score, but obviously, how can you not talk about turtles when you're talking about turtles?
Good.
If that makes any sense. So
stay tuned for that.
Yes, I don't know when that's going to be because
episode 200.
I'm Mike, and yes, episode 200. Sam, saying I don't know when that's going to get recorded.
I know, because you're retired. So I get it.
I'm Mike, and I'm a retired podcaster. I have a problem.
After his next meeting, when he comes out of retirement for the 17th time, like Michael Jordan, he will be ready to record 200. Turtles coming at you.
Oh, breaking out of their shells. TFG and Mike, the last dance.
Breaking out of their shells tour. Coming at you.
Yep, coming out of your shells.
Good Lord. Folks. We're leaving now.
Unleash the geek in you, and we will catch you next time here on Geekcast Radio.